Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to pre-order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Today, we are recapping with pastors Brad and Stephanie White. They are pastors of a church in Tampa, Florida, and The Gathering, and they are dynamic people. I had the chance to interview Brad for a character education program that I was involved in, Character GPS, many moons ago, and we've had a great friendship, and I respect him and his wife, and man, what a great interview we had with them. A lot of fun.
I really enjoyed spending time with them. They were definitely up there at the top of some of my most favorite interviews. And I think they just came right out of the gate with Stephanie saying, it's commitment to the hard stuff that we do day in and day out. And she also said, forgetting and forgiving, even when you don't want to.
Right, right.
That's hard.
No, because we're all in those places where we don't like our spouse, right? We're not happy with them. We're angry. They did something or didn't do something or said something or didn't say something or, right, whatever it was. Or sometimes we don't feel like loving them.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, she said, learning to see the good even when you don't want to. Remembering how and why you fell in love, right? Because that never goes away, or hopefully doesn't go away.
Right.
In the relationship.
Well, and I feel like Stephanie, when she talked about her family of origin, she came from a place of always being told what to do. She had a father who was a pastor. He was also a Marine. So their household was very structured. There were lots of demands made on the children, and I feel like she came to marriage with always being told no.
And told what to do, right? I mean, her father was a pastor too, so it wasn't just he was the drill sergeant, but he also, you know, was kind of, which is a good influence. I think she had some great things out of both of those. But yeah, she was always being told what to do and how to do it and why she should be doing it, right? So there was kind of some moral justification. And, you know, Brad came out of his family of origin. You know, this whole family of origin thing, we talk about it all the time, but this is an important discussion in any relationship, isn't it? I mean, you and I both talked about what it was like and what our expectations was, because marriage is learning how to meld those two histories together. And Brad's dad was a pastor, and he said his dad was really submissive and took second fiddle to his mom. Mom was very strong, and Brad saw his mom kind of steamroll his dad in most situations. So Brad came to their relationship saying, you know, I'm going to have a say, and I'm going to direct what's going on here, because I saw my mom just steamroll my dad, and I'm not going to be steamrolled in this relationship. So here you got two strong personalities saying they're both going to have the say in the relationship. And they each had reason for doing so, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Brad said she didn't want to be led and he wanted to do all the leading. And that was really combustible for them.
It was. So, Kim, how did they get through that? I mean, that's huge. You got to be able to navigate that to go off of square one in any relationship.
That's a tough one. I mean, when you bring that to a marriage, you're going to have a lot of conflict, right? Just because of sort of the way that you feel on a daily basis. And Steph said, I'm opinionated. I'm going to bring a strong opinion, and I'm going to bring, my type A personality. I'm not going to want to back down. And she said it took a lot of growing, a lot of learning, and a lot of growing.
It did. And I love this. Here's a great pearl, guys, that I pulled out of this discussion. Steph said, is your opinion more important than the other person is to you? What are you holding more dear? Your opinion on that specific issue or your love of the other person? And that was a lesson they both had to learn, right? I mean, she learned that, but her recognizing that maybe that goes contrary to her experience is that she loved Brad and he was more important than any opinion she might have on any issue.
Yeah, we're going to learn. We're going to figure this out and we're going to learn how to grow together. And how did that show up? That showed up in their commitment really to each other. Stephanie said, we're not letting each other give up.
No. And I love the analogy she used. She goes, you got to be a bulldog on a dish rag, right?
I thought it was awesome.
In other words, we're not letting go no matter how hard the pull is or how tough the fight is. And yeah. I thought that was great. Not going to let go. And, they're willing to do whatever it takes to work through those issues.
And they talked about having to have to be involved in counseling. They really believe in counseling. They were committed to getting better, to doing better. And they really wanted to rise up as a couple and work through the yin and yang that they had going on.
Yeah, I mean, and I love Brad's analogy. When he talked about counseling, he said, now, wait a minute. You get an oil change on your car. You get the alignment taken care of because you're investing in keeping that thing running smoothly. And he goes, you got to see counseling is the same thing. It's just a continued investment. And Steph said, she goes, I can't change him, but I can change me. And that is a huge key in any relationship. It's not up to you to change your spouse or change your spouse's mind, but really to say, what's my role in this? And what can I change about myself in this situation to keep the harmony going and make the investment?
Right. They realize that some problems may never go away. And we've talked about that before, right? Perpetual problems. Those are problems that are never going to go away.
Right.
But it is how you are equipped to handle it. And they were not shy to say that, we don't have all the answers. We can't do this on our own. We need help. As a matter of fact, I think Brad was so into all the counseling. He said, I need a whole team of counselors.
He was one counselor can't handle me. I need two or three or four. Otherwise, they keep on quitting, right?
Cracked me up.
That was great.
That was good.
And, I think that, in talking about commitment too, they said, hey, divorce is not an option. It's not even on the table. We're going to work through this and we're going to figure it out. And what I love, Brad said, at the end of the day, I try to make the 75-year-old decision. And I said, what does that mean? He goes, that means when I'm 75, and I'm looking back when I'm 50. He goes, I just turned 50. So 25 years ago when I was making decisions, am I happy with the decisions I made? And it bring me to a place where I want to be 25 years later. So the things that happen today really are not that important, but you got to think about in 25 years, what will I be glad that I did or did not do?
Yeah, I think that's a great habit. He checks himself, right? He's asking himself that question because he wants to make sure that whatever he passes down later in life he made the right choices on that.
Yeah. And I think that going back to the counseling thing, Brad said something too. He said, a good counselor doesn't solve or eliminate your problems. A good counselor helps you with a plan, a strategy to face them. Because problems happen when we don't address them, right? We shove them down, we tuck them away, we ignore them, we don't go into them. But he said, if you don't have the tools to handle those tough issues, that's what a good counselor should do.
Sure.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder how you're doing? We found that there are 13 key components that make up a thriving relationship, which is why we've created the Kick-Ass Assessment. In this powerful free tool, you'll learn what they are and how you and your spouse are ranking in each one. and you'll get recommendations that will help you start improving today. To get your results, simply visit MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's MatthewPHoffman.com. It's time to start kicking ass. Let's go. I love that.
And I think another thing that stood out to me with them is that they both are intentionally create space to be by themselves. So they create space even when their kids were younger. And then now their children are grown and I think most of them are out of the home or in college, but they still create that space. And usually it's over a meal or going to a place that's well lit and a place that is bright and light and cheery. And they have discussions. They intentionally create time to review their day, to maybe even talk about some things that are challenging them.
And I love that Brad says we intentionally go to a public place because you're not going to get nasty or do anything inappropriate or go outside the bounds if you're in public. And we also go to, as Kim said, a light, bright, positive place that we're going to feel good being in so we can have the best discussion for those important issues as possible. They got stuff to work out. They're setting a dinner date. They're going out somewhere nice and they're having some quality time together.
Yeah. Steph's learning how to say what bothered her, how her feelings were hurt. So she's really learning how to open up and be vulnerable. And I believe that Brad is learning how to really apologize, right? To say that he's sorry in a really meaningful way.
Yeah, I mean, there is a right way, Kim. I think you've hit on something. There's a right way to apologize. And, you know, there's kind of some steps coming through. First, identifying what the issue is, right? Second, what was your role in it? Like, what did you do to contribute to it, maybe? And then thinking about it is also stepping up and taking responsibility. Like, hey, I should have, I shouldn't have, and owning it. It's not about blaming the other, right? And we're going to have a pillar discussion later on that y'all be able to listen to about conflict resolution. So make sure you stay tuned for that and come check that out. But I think that Brad said you got to go through and do what's right and come clean in what your role was. And what are you going to do in the future so you don't get there again? And
I love Stephanie's quote of, I learn to own my own junk.
Yeah, she does. We all have to do that. It's not easy because you're kind of bearing your soul and, you know, you're a little bare, you're a little naked when you do that. But if that commitment is there, your spouse is not going to zoom in and zing you or zap you when that happens, right?
I also think that takes practice, right? It's not easy to do it the first time, but I think the more we intentionally practice this, the better we become at it.
Yeah, it is practice. And I think that, you know, the way kind of leaning in a little bit to conflict resolution, right? Your priorities have to be in line. And when they're not, that's kind of when conflict occurs. So if a conflict happens, it means that you or your spouse are prioritizing something more or less than the other one is. And one of the things that they talked about is confronting in love. So Stephanie said, you know, the matter in which I approach Brad with something is a direct indication of how he's going to receive it. So if I come in with a soft startup and I'm loving and I'm tender, he's going to be open and receptive to whatever it is I have concern about.
Right. You know, you can disagree, but still have a really good relationship, Stephanie said. And she's right. We can have those conversations. We can definitely disagree on things or even have a little bit of conflict going on. But how we approach the other with that conflict, it says it all. I mean, it really makes a huge difference on how you communicate in the relationship.
It does. And I mean, and if you communicate lovingly, you know, Brad said in the end of the day, he really doesn't want to live. Do you want to live in friction? You know, do you?
It's not fun.
You know, you've heard us say before how long you want the fight to last.
Right.
Want to let you, you get to choose, you know, when you right. want to resolve it and come together. And, you know, Kim, when we have those conflicts, when you and I have worked things out, do you feel like you're, when we come to solutions, do you feel like you're losing?
No, I don't. I mean, I've learned how to work through conflict. I always felt like I needed to win. I will be honest. I always felt like I needed to, but now I don't feel that way at all. I feel like it's really important to be heard. And when I'm heard and when I'm understood, the conflict dissolves.
Right. So if there's good, so what I hear you saying is in the way to not feel like there's a win-lose is to make sure there's effective communication and that you are being heard and that you're also listening, right?
Yeah.
It's being heard and that empathic listening.
Yeah. Stephanie said, she made the comment that what is most important, the fight and winning, or is it your spouse and going the distance? And I really love that.
Yeah, it's a choice. We all have a choice of where we want to end up. And I think Brad kind of talked about marriage being a journey where you're learning what you do and don't want to do. He said marriage is learning how to be happy with what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you may not want to go eat at that restaurant. You may not want to spend time with those outlaws or those in-laws, but you do it. It's not misery, but you do it because you're committed to the relationship and you compromise. It's the art of compromise. How do you allow your spouse to win and have you win at the same time?
Yeah, definitely. I go back to that, having the patience and walking in love every day. I really loved when Stephanie said, you know, we choose to walk in love every day. And that's a great example of their commitment to each other.
Kim, what do you think? What would be some examples of walking in love? Well, I think that is a good concept, but if you had to put some skin on it, like what is that? What would that look like? And are any things that you see me do for you or our relationship that are walking in love, or things that you actively try to do in our relationship?
I feel like walking in love means that you understand me and you know me and you know what my love languages are and you try to tap into those on a daily basis. I think walking in love is being cognizant of the other person's needs and desires and really trying to do something in the day to meet those needs and desires. It can be small. It doesn't have to be something huge and lavish, right. But it's just being aware.
Being aware and trying to meet those daily needs. I think that's a great example. And looking, you know, it's kind of like, to me, it's become a game for me in our relationship because I'm looking for ways that I can surprise and delight you, or looking for ways that I might ease your burden, or looking for ways to plan a surprise rendezvous or something that will be fun and different and break up the monotony of our day-to-day time together. And those are how I look at examples of walking in love. And any healthy relationship is going to have both spouses taking turns, right?
Yeah.
And doing that for each other. And
absolutely. You're really good at that. I'm a work in progress. I always say that about myself. And I truly am. I have come a long way just in the last few years. But, you know, a great example is right before we came out here to do these recaps, you know, you had gone downstairs, switched over the laundry, folded what was in the dryer and brought it up to me. And I just was in shock.
You were shocked. You mean you don't expect those things from me all the time?
Well, you do things all the time, but, you know, laundry is every so often thing. But anyway, that's just a great example of, yes, you are always looking for things to do to help ease the burden or to tap into my love language.
Right. Right. And so, I mean, Steph shared that about walking every day in love, and we've kind of talked about what some examples. Be curious to know what some of your examples, our listeners, what are the examples of your spouse walking in love for you? Brad talked about trust and honesty, you know, that he said that she is his most trusted and loyal friend. And friendship really is the foundation of every relationship because you got to like them before you love them. Right? It can't be just, well, I love them because they're my spouse, but you got to want to tell them things. And it's, you know, he thought that trust and honesty was most important because he wants to know that if that trust and honesty foundation is there, then the friendship's going to happen. And if friendship happens, then you're naturally spilling into love each and every day.
I really love listening to this episode of two really busy professionals, people who are really big servants to the community they live in. And so I hope that you will go back and listen to this interview in its entirety again with Brad and Stephanie White.
Great episode, and go check it out if you haven't heard it yet. Leave your comments for us and let us know what you'd like to hear us asking some of our guests or talking about those key points. You know, I'm going to close with Brad said his advice to his unmarried self was to ask more questions and give less advice. So go out there, ask your spouse more questions, become a student of them, and learn. And remember, happily ever after does not just happen.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's upcoming book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away.
Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.